This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. It is unfortunate that the AC is not working. It seems that every lecture, every course has a specific taste to it. Mine has a taste and a smell. So we pray to Allah Azza wa Jalla that it makes it a pleasant smell for those, inshallah, of us. Zali, do we have the presentation?
Yeah.
Please. So this course is about the introduction to fiqh. And usually this course is a full 2 days course, 8 hours, 8 hours. But the time is limited, and the lecturer or the one who's presenting it is also limited in knowledge, so we try to minimize it as much as possible. But inshallah, I'm waiting for a presentation. What? Is that working?
Yes.
But can I have at least my laptop? It's working? Alas, it's not, no problem. I can manage, inshallah. No need. Wait, without projector?
Okay.
Why do you want to? I could hook me up with. Okay. So you can open your notes, please. And in a few seconds, inshallah, we will be on our way. Introduction. And we have liftoff. Fiqh definition and scope. Now, if we would like, can I continue?
Okay.
If you would like to define fiqh in Arabic language, there is a definition. In Sharia in general, there is a definition. And to be technical, there is another definition. In Islam, usually you have two definitions, linguistic and technical. So in fiqh, any book of fiqh you open, you go to the chapter dealing with salat, it says salat. Linguistically, what does it mean? Dua. Salat in Arabic linguistically means dua. But technically, it is specific narrations and actions beginning with takbir, concluded with salam. For the sake of Allah Azza wa Jalla, this is a technical definition. So everything in Islam usually has these two definitions, linguistic and technical. When you come to fiqh, you find that fiqh has three types of definitions in a sort. The linguistic is understanding, comprehension. Allah Azza wa Jalla says in the Quran, وَإِن مِّن شَيْءٍ إِلَّا يُسَبِّحُ بِحَمْدِهِ وَلَكِنْ لَا تَفْقَهُونَ تَسْبِيحَهُمْ. That everything on earth praises Allah Azza wa Jal, glorifies Allah Azza wa Jal. But you do not, what? You have to continue because I have to make sure that you're not asleep. This is fiqh. It's very rigid and tough. If you don't understand it, it's not like storytelling. Umar did this and then Abdullah did that and they had a fight. No. It's something that you have to be very quick and put your effort to it. So again, Allah says, Azza wa Jal, everything, and there is not a thing except that it exalts Allah by His praise, but you do not understand. وَلَكِنْ لَا تَفْقَهُونَ فِقْ. So everything praises Allah, glorifies Allah, even this desk, even the ants, even the fish, they praise Allah. But we cannot, not hear it. We cannot Comprehend. This is what we're talking about, the linguistic meaning of comprehension, of fiqh. Allah says, فَمَا لِهَؤُلَاءِ الْقَوْمِ لَا يَكَادُونَ يَفْقَهُونَ حَدِيثًا فِقْ يَفْقَهُونَ. So what is the matter with those people that they can hardly understand any statement? Now, the second type of definition of fiqh is the general sharia type. What do you mean by general sharia type? When the Quran was revealed, the Arabs in the hadith, when the Prophet referred to fiqh, it meant the knowledge of the deen. Allah says, Azza wa Jal, for there should separate from every division of them, the believers, a group remaining to obtain understanding in the religion and warn their people. So this is in Surah At-Tawbah. Allah Azza wa Jal says in the Quran, لِيَتَفَقَّهُ فِي الدِّينِ, to gain fiqh in deen. To gain fiqh in deen, is it the one we're talking about? Technical? No. This is the general understanding. Allah said, the Prophet said, alayhi salatu wasalam, مَنْ يُرِدِ اللَّهُ بِهِ خَيْرًا, what? يُفَقِّهُ فِي الدِّينِ. Whomever Allah Azza wa Jal intends good for him, Allah would give him the understanding of deen. What do you mean understanding of deen? Scholars say, meaning the understanding of tafsir, understanding of hadith, understanding of fiqh, understanding of the most important knowledge or science of sharia of all, which is the most important branch of aqidah, tawheed. This is the most important. So this is what? The sharia definition of fiqh. Linguistics, understanding. Sharia definition is a comprehensive of all the religion. Anything related to religion, we use fiqh with. And this is why Imam Abu Hanifa, he compiled a book. It's called Al-Fiqh Al-Akbar, Grand Fiqh. And if you look into it, it's only about aqidah. So his understanding was that fiqh relates to the most important thing in religion, in the sciences of religion. Now we come to the technical part, which deals with what we are doing at the moment. What is fiqh? I'd like to become a student of knowledge. Okay, you have to study fiqh. What is fiqh? Define it for me. Scholars say fiqh is the knowledge of the practical, legal rulings pertaining to actions which are derived from detailed evidences. Now this definition, the jurors, scientists of fiqh, and usul al-fiqh, and usul al-tafsir, and mustalah al-hadith, when they give a definition, the definition is so tight that each word is used for a specific meaning. So when they say knowledge of the practical legal rulings, meaning that rulings on tafsir, rulings on aqeedah is not included. So let's go to the issue of understanding, linguistic. If I say, I'd like to use the word fiqh when we're referring to understanding how the mobile phone works, this is linguistic, sharia related, or technical? Huh? Technical. No, it's not technical. See, now you did not understand the meaning of technical yet. My mistake. My fault. I don't have coffee, so I'm still... yani, but we will get to that. Let me finish the technical definition, then I'll start to ask you questions, inshallah. Knowledge, this is a technical definition. It is not technical per se as into mechanics or electronics. It's technical in the sharia sense, related to the science of fiqh. What is the meaning, definition? Knowledge of the practical legal rulings. So my belief in Jannah and Nar and Hell, this is technical? No, this is sharia related, because it's not pertaining to practical legal. Understanding how my car works, This is technical? No. This is linguistic. Because understanding of something worldly. But when it comes to something that is Islamically technical, knowing how to perform wudu, this is considered to be technical because it is of practical legal rulings pertaining to actions and not to aqidah, which are derived from the detailed evidences. What detailed evidences we are referring to? Quran, Sunnah, Ijma', consensus of scholars, Qiyas, analogy. These are the evidences. So by this understanding, we go into a quick refreshing questions. Knowledge of which medicine I should take to my high blood pressure. This is linguistics to understand, to have fiqh. This is linguistic, sharia related or technical? This is linguistic. Okay. Knowing when to offer to sujood sahu. This is linguistic, sharia related and technical. Why is it linguistic? Because you have to understand. Why is it sharia related? Because of its Islam. It's about deen. Why is it technical? Because it is about the detailed and practical legal rulings. So you cascade this to everything and you will find it, inshallah, easy to understand. Are we fine with this or any questions? So some rulings of fiqh, you have the three definitions. For example, the description of eclipse prayer. To understand and to have fiqh in it, it has to be linguistic. What is the definition of eclipse? I don't know. So I explain it to you. It's when the sun comes in between the moon and the earth. Okay, now I understand. And what is the sharia ruling? Wallah, it is part of the deen. Because the Prophet ﷺ did it. And this is part of our sunnah. And the technical part, well, the Prophet prayed it once, alayhi salatu wasalam. The format is two rak'ah in one rak'ah. Two sajda in one rak'ah. So it's two rak'ah units with four ruku' and four sujood. This is the technical part when I come to explain it to you. Now, the scope. It is the description, and this is the scope of it. And we've gone through this. So, what is the virtues of studying fiqh? In your handouts, how do we do this? Okay. The virtues. There are general virtues of sharia knowledge and there are special virtues of fiqh knowledge. So, in general, when you come to Islamic sciences, you'll find that whatever we know is not something that we have gained by ourselves. And this is a common mistake we always do. We always refer our successes to our own ability. So last year I managed to bring profit to my company of $2 million. Dollars, and I managed to minimize cost and expenses, and I managed to secure few contracts. This is all type of minor shirk because I'm attributing Allah's favors to my own knowledge and ability. It is not me. Everything that happens is from Allah. Allah says in the Quran, and Allah has brought you out from the wombs of your mothers while you know nothing. When we came out to this world, we had no knowledge. And He gave you hearing, sight and hearts that you might give thanks to Allah. The importance and the virtue of knowledge in sharia in general uplifts you. Allah says, Allah will exalt in degree those of you who believe and those who have been granted knowledge. Knowledge uplifts you. In this life, and definitely in the hereafter if you have sincerity. But in this life, even if you don't have sincerity, like me, it will uplift you. Everybody respects you, everybody says the Sheikh, everybody, when you come, they give you preference, sit in the front, do this, that. It's good, alhamdulillah, I'm happy. But if I added sincerity to that on the Day of Judgment, you will find this being elevated in Jannah, inshaAllah. And if you read the Quran from cover to cover, you will never find Allah ordering His Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam to ask for increasing in something except in knowledge. Allah does not tell His Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, ask for increasing in your wealth, in your health, in your offspring. No. Allah only says, subhanahu wa ta'ala, وَقُلْ رَبِّ زِدْنِي عِلْمًا, and say, my Lord, increase me in knowledge. So the more knowledge you have, the more fulfillment of your role as a Muslim, because you will illuminate, you will give light to everyone, no matter where you sit. In a lecture room like this, you see someone drinking with his left. Akhi, drink with your right, please. Drinking with the left is haram. Knowledge. Whenever you see something wrong, you correct it. Whenever you see something good, you praise it. And you encourage people to do it. And those who know are favored to Allah Azza wa Jal. Allah says, say, are those who know equal to those who know not? And there are so many other evidences, but we will not go through them all. This is the general virtues of Sharia knowledge. Now, knowledge itself is divided into two types. So when you hear that the people who know and the people who do not know, or Allah increase me in knowledge, one would think, okay, why do you insist that this knowledge has to be Sharia related? Why not being a PhD in physics, or a dentist, or even a veterinarian, a vet? Yeah, this is knowledge. He said, no, wait. Knowledge is divided into two types, Shar'i related and non-Shar'i related. The Shar'i related is whatever Allah mentions in the Quran and the Sunnah. Whatever you find that Allah is praising those who know, this is related to Sharia, so to the sciences that we will come to talk about. The non-Shar'i, the non-Islamic, not meaning that it is kafir or that it is sinful. The non-Islamic, that is not related to Quran, Sunnah, Fiqh, Hadith, etc. This is divided into two types. One type, which is good if you're sincere and you have good intention, Allah will reward you for that. So if you have a good intention and you study medicine, that's good. If you study engineering, if you study physics, mathematics, you have a good intention for Islam and the Muslims, mashallah, you're doing a good job. But if you are not having that pure intention, it's halal. Why are you studying medicine? Well, it pays good. To be a doctor, I'll become rich. That's good for you. But you will not be rewarded for it. Now, the other branch of non-Islamic knowledge, which is the haram knowledge. This is sinful. So someone says, I'd like to go to music academy and learn 4 years of acoustic guitar. Halal, haram? Is it knowledge? It is knowledge. One says, I'd like to study astrology and the effect and impact of stars on our lives and destiny. This is also knowledge, but it is haram knowledge, etc. And this is why, when you read in the Quran, you would find the knowledge that Allah praises most is the Islamic knowledge. Allah says, it is only those who have knowledge among His slaves that fear Allah. It is only those who have knowledge that would fear Allah Azza wa Jal. So a doctor, a physician, a mathematician may not fear Allah. So this is not going to help him. But a Muslim who has knowledge in the Quran and Sunnah and fears Allah, then this is the thing that to be praised. And the Prophet said, alayhi salatu wasalam, whoever Allah intends good for him, he will grant him what? The comprehension in religion. This is the Sharia, the whole package, not the specific. So if you want to go to the virtues of this, special virtues of fiqh and knowledge, what can we say? The dawra you're studying here is related to fiqh. But in general, the fiqh of the Sharia is very important. But how important is it when we go to the technical part? How important is knowledge in fiqh, technically speaking? It is the most, or one of the most relevant to our lives. Because, for example, if you would like to study Mustalah al-Hadith, the technical science that deals with the hadith. Is it connected? Is it maqtu', mawquf, marfu', mu'dal? We would like to know the definition of matan, the definition of a sanad. We would like to know when it is weak, when it is fabricated, when it is authentic, hasan, sahih, etc. I could give it to you in less than one day. The whole package. It's very easy. But it is not the essential. If I'd like to give you the fundamentals of tafsir, usul al-tafsir, before you go to tafsir, you have to learn the usul, the fundamentals of it. If I'd like to give you usul al-fiqh, this might take 2 to 3 days. But again, these are all auxiliary sciences, not part of the mainstream sciences and al-ilm al-asli, as they call it. But when you come to fiqh, can I give it to you in a week? No. Can I give it to you in a month? No. Can I give it to you in a year? Maybe. I'm talking about daily doses of fiqh. Why? The importance and the virtue of the fiqh we would like to study is that it is the science that tells you the difference between halal and haram in every aspect of your life. So without fiqh, you cannot know whether the forms of worship I am offering is valid or invalid. So you may pray for 10 years and you come and say, Shaykh, I've been praying like this. He said, all your prayers are invalid. Astaghfirullah. Why? Well, the Qibla is there and you're praying to the other direction. And one of the conditions of the validity of your prayer is istiqbal al-Qibla. Yeah, but I didn't think it was okay. Allah is everywhere. Astaghfirullah. What do you mean Allah is everywhere? Yeah, you know what I mean. Yeah. If I pray here and there, Allah will... No. This is pertaining, related to fiqh. You have zero fiqh, your ibadah is invalid. Okay, what about my transactions? I went to the gold shop yesterday and I gave him a deposit so that I can buy a bracelet of gold for my daughter, and I'll pick it up tomorrow. Riba. Oh, yeah, Sheikh. I just gave them 20% of the amount. I did not borrow or... This is riba. Buying gold, you have to be simultaneous. Give and take. Yes, but I gave him 20%. Tomorrow I'm going to pick it up and give him the rest. Riba. This is fiqh. So even your transactions... Okay, Sheikh, I married a woman. Tough luck. Yeah, I married a woman. We met in university. We fell in love. So I said to her, I marry you for the sake of Allah. She said, I give you myself for the sake of Allah. Allah is our witness. Alhamdulillah. But this is zina. Ya, Sheikh. Well, I'm a practicing Muslim. My beard reaches my belly if I bend a little bit. So what do you mean? And my wife's beard is even longer. So what do you mean? This is invalid. Without knowledge, you will fall into sins, into what kind of knowledge? Knowledge in fiqh. So many people, my father died. Okay, may Allah have mercy on him. We did not divide the inheritance. So we thought that I'll keep it for 5-10 years, I'll invest it, and then I'll give it to my stepmother, and then I give it to my grand. It's haram. Some say, no, we're all equal in it. So we're five girls, three boys, one mother, one grandson, two cousins, three siblings. We divide it equal. Haram. I didn't know what to do, Sheikh, because you did not have knowledge. So all of these things, fiqh, is related to your life. And it's not something that comes once in a blue moon. I swore not to eat biryani in my friend's house. When I came, I smelled the biryani. Ooh, it's very good. I want to eat. What to do? Expiate. What? How to expiate? You have to have fiqh. You have to know how to do umrah. You have to know how to fast. When to break your fast. When to make up. If you broke your fast wrongly, and when not to make up. All of this comes from what? This great knowledge of fiqh that we need. So, what is the ruling on learning it? As stated before, learning it, if we're talking about fiqh and we're talking about things related to the jurisprudence, can be mandatory, and it can be what? A communal obligation. In Arabic, we call it fard kifaya. What is obligation? Meaning that each and every one of you is obliged to learn. So, the knowledge in prayer, how to perform prayer, what is this? Huh? It is compulsory. It is about each individual obligation. No one would say, yes, yes, Sheikh, I'm not included. You guys learn how to pray, I'm not. Why? It's not now. I just want to finish my course in flying. And then I'll learn how to pray. No, this is an individual obligation. Each and everyone must know how to pray. You have no excuse in not knowing how to pray or in not learning the things that break your fast. Wallahi, Sheikh, I thought only water broke my fast. Or a juice break my fast? It's not mentioned in the Quran. فَكُلُوا وَشْرَبُوا. Allah says, drink. I thought it was water. This is an obligation for you to learn. Every single Muslim in Siberia, in Amazon, not Amazon.com, Amazon the area. You have to learn this. You have to know it. Okay. There are communal obligation, meaning that if I know it, it's sufficient. All of you don't have to know it. But if none of us know it, we're all what? We're all sinful. We all going to be punished for that. I'm talking about knowledge. So now if I ask you, distribution of inheritance, obligation, individual or communion? Communion. Huh? Communion.
Obligation
of the
individual.
Huh? Okay? Because not of every one of us is obliged to distribute now. Once a person dies, it's not even obligatory upon me. I have to go and seek a scholar who knows. But if no scholar at all knows, they're all sinful. Likewise, if someone dies, are we all obliged to wash that person, shroud him, and bury him? One person does it. Kifaya. Fardu al-kifaya. Likewise, in Hajj. Is it an obligation? No. No, it's not individual obligation. Why? It's an individual obligation on the person who's going to perform Hajj, who has money, and who is healthy. A person who's not going this year, or next year, or the year after. And he said, no, akhi, give me the explanation of ifrad, qiran, and tamattu'. I don't know. So you're sinful. No, he's not sinful. But when it comes to fasting, when it comes to prayer, he has to do it. Then it becomes. So I hope this is understood, inshallah. Allah, I think we're going to finish the course in half an hour. You're doing good.
Not
1 week. Alhamdulillah. Now, Jazakallah khair. Yes, I'm saved by the bell. So I'll take half an hour and. This is not cappuccino, it's black coffee. It's okay. Alhamdulillah. Where are we? So now, we would like to know the stages of fiqh. Because we have an unfortunate error in our learning system. We're all students of knowledge, correct? But we have students of knowledge that begin from KG1 and end up in PhD, But they're also all considered to be what? Students of knowledge. Our deficiency is in knowing the structure of our knowledge. So each one that says, okay, akhi, what's the ruling on this? It's haram. Why? Because Imam Abu Hanifa said it's haram. Who's Abu Hanifa? Abu Hanifa and me are the same. What is his evidence? What are you talking about? So people, because of their ignorance, tend to put themselves in a level way higher than their pay grade. So they should supposed to be janitors, but they think that they're the CEOs. So we would like to know the classification and the stages of learning, of fiqh. How did it develop? So I'm not going to go into salat, siyam, hajj. No, this is a detailed course that needs much, much more time. This is an intro to fiqh, which means that you're supposed to, after finishing this two-day course, that you have a bigger understanding and value to fiqh and to our scholars. Now, if I ask you about the scholars, you may give me one or two names, and they are contemporaries. But if I tell you to go back in time, probably you would not be able to do this, and this is wrong in all of us. So, there are different types and classifications of the stages of fiqh, how it developed. To our understanding, we will choose one that is very simple for us to understand. And this classification of four stages. Stage number one, legislation stage. And this ended on which year? Year 11 of Hijrah. What commemorates the year 11? The Prophet died in the 10th of Hijrah. So what is 11?
Abu Bakr.
Participation.
Yeah.
Hello. Are you with us? Okay. So, what do you think, guys? What happened in 11th Hijrah? You're students of knowledge. You should know. The Quran was compiled.
No.
Close. All of you are close. See, I'm stalling for time, so I'm just wasting time. When did the Prophet die? No. The Prophet ﷺ died in the 11th year of Hijrah, in Rabi' al-Awwal, on the 12th. When was Hajjatul Wada'? How can he die if the Hijjah is the last month? He says, oh, Rabi' al-Awwal, he died before, but then he came for Hajj. This is one of the common mistakes people have, is their ignorance of the seerah. So when we talk about seerah, and say, okay, Ghazwat Mu'tah, when did it happen? It's Mu'tah? Did it happen? I thought it was next year, 2020. You don't know? Okay, when? Who participated with the Prophet in Ghazwat Mu'tah? I don't know. Sheikh, we're in the fiqh. Come on, give us a break. This is fiqh, not seerah, not history. My point is that this is our heritage. By the way, Mu'tah, the Prophet did not participate. He did not go. Only the three sahabas who died, Ja'far ibn Abi Talib, Zayd ibn Haritha, and Abdullah ibn Rawaha. May Allah be pleased with them. So you have to know this in order to be a real student of knowledge. It's not just a crash course of 3 hours, and you go, and some of you don't go, maybe have lunch here, like Hajj Arif said. The others can fast, but if you have to fast Saturday, you must fast Friday before it, or Sunday. So this is fiqh again. So coming to 11th year, the stage of legislation is over. Why? Because no one can legislate after the Quran and Sunnah. This is a well-known fact. Stage two, it is the preschools of thoughts, stage. And this was up till the year 100. What do we mean by pre-schools of thought? Yani pre-schools of Abu Hanifa, Malik, Shafi'i, and Ahmad. So from 11 to almost 100. Tab, who was there? Sahaba and Tabi'een. It is a very crucial stage of fiqh. Three, the stage of the schools of thought and its extensions. What do you mean by its extensions? A common mistake among people that they think that the four schools of thought, the school of Imam Abu Hanifa, Imam Malik ibn Anas, Imam Muhammad ibn Idris al-Shafi'i, and Imam Ahmad ibn Muhammad ibn Hanbal, that it related and depended only on them. And this is wrong. All four of schools of thought had a great army of scholars that backed the school of thought and built it. So it's not only Abu Hanifa. It is not only Shafi'i. It is the students and the students of the students. And this extends up till year 1300. 1300 of Hijrah. Then we have what? The present stage, where we have great scholars like Imam Sheikh Asim. I don't know why you guys come, but who cares? I'm having fun. So these are the four schools. This is too slow. Let me go for this. Of thought. Now, the Islamic legislation began soon after the prophethood of the Prophet ﷺ and continued till his death. The feature of this stage are illustrated by the following chart. The legislation of Islam began from year 13 before Hijrah and ended at 11th year of Hijrah. So the period, it was divided into two periods. What? Makki and Madani. How long was it in Mecca? 13 years. How long was it in Medina? 10 years. So what are the features of the Makki period? The Makki period, imagine that the Prophet for 13 years administration? Anyone from the administration? How long to the break? They have two breaks, but I just want to know so that I can exactly know where to stop. Huh? 10:45. So we have a good 16 minutes, inshallah. So the Makki period, if you focus on the seerah, you'll find that they did not pray five prayers a day. This was legislated at the very end after the death of Mother Khadija, when the Prophet ﷺ had the Isra wal Mi'raj, the glorious night, I think they called it, or the miraculous night, the night journey. And fasting, no fasting. Zakat, no zakat. Hajj, no hajj. What did they do? 13 years, the focus was on what? What do we mean by fundamentals of the deen? Tawheed, Aqeedah, Jannah, Nar, angels, the books, which we as Muslims fail to acknowledge when we call people to Islam. When we call non-Muslims to Islam, gold for men is haram. Women must cover their faces. Khalas? Khalas. Music is haram. It's very important. And that's it. But who is saying halal and haram? I don't know. Who am I worshipping? Allah. What do I know about Allah? Nothing. What fear do I have in my heart to Allah? Very little. What hope do I have? I'm hoping that Allah gives me a raise. What trust do I have in Allah? None. Only the doctor can cure my child. Okay, did you make dua? Did you make ruqya? No. The doctor has the medication. What should I do dua and ruqya for? These fundamentals of Islam, we have zero of. This is why you'll find a practicing brother working in a riba-based bank. you will find a practicing sister wearing the hijab participating in Asia Has Talent, Got Talent or whatever, or in The Voice. And she's wearing hijab, mashallah. Beautiful voice, sister. Jazakallahu khairan. Islamic. What is this? Because you don't have the proper aqeedah. But when you have proper aqeedah that is theoretical, not practical, you'll find people speaking nicely, but when it comes to implementation, you have zero. So in Mecca, 13 years, the Prophet ﷺ spent building people. These people, the Muhajirun, they were the cornerstone. Whenever calamities took place, they had his back. Of course, Allah Azza wa Jal ordered him to do this, and no one has your back except Allah. But this is something we all understand. They are means of protection of the Prophet ﷺ and of the deen, and they're the one who spread the deen. So he focused on such fundamentals. But there were rules, little by little, of halal and haram. And when he migrated to Medina, now it was safer. Now it was time to establish the government, the society, the community. So started pouring the legislations, the rulings, halal, haram, how to do this, how to do that. And people started gaining more and more and more knowledge. So was the fundamentals neglected? No, it continued, but not in the same pace, because the foundation was laid in the 13 years of Mecca period. If you study the tafsir, usul al-tafsir, or ulum al-Quran, you will find that there's a big chapter in the beginning talking about the difference between Mecca revelations and Madani revelations. Like, amma yatasa'alun. Fast tempo. Amma yatasa'alun. One, two words. But it is coming like lightning. Very strong. It shakes you. When you go to Madani, it's more relaxed, longer verses, more of communicating to you the rulings. The longest verse of the Quran in Surah Al-Baqarah, it's a whole page. Rulings, ayatul dain, of the debt. Different when you come to Iqra, bismi rabbika alladhi khalaq, khalaq al-insana min alaq, Iqra wa rabbuka al-akram, alladhi allama bil-qalam, allama al-insana ma lam ya'lam. Even non-Muslims, when they heed the Quran, the Makki period revelation has impact. They don't understand. They say, "Ooh, this is too strong. It's coming straight to penetrate your heart." When you come to Madani surahs, Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu, you find it more relaxed. You find it more easy to go through. طيب. In the times of the legislation stage, what were the sources of legislation? Two, Quran and Sunnah. Now, do we say also there was consensus? No, because the reference was there, the Prophet. You can't say the consensus at the time of the Prophet was so and so. The legislation is only taken from the Prophet, Allahumma salli wa sallim alayhi. What are the features that, first of all, this stage of legislation? We said we have how many stages? Huh? Four. Huh? One is the legislation stage. What are the features of this period? One, the legislation is confined to this stage. No one can come nowadays. Well, actually they can, but they are not right. Nowadays we have modern scholars who come and change the religion. They said, yeah, this was at the time of the Prophet ﷺ, but now this is inapplicable. Now we have maqasid al-sharia, and they use big words, and you say, that's good. The word of maqasid al-sharia, which is something recent. It's not something from the old scholars of the Tabi'een or even the Sahaba. No, it's recent. And it has some sense to it, but not to the extent that it is used today. Now, so-called modern scholars change the Quran, change the Sunnah, by saying that, well, yes, at the time of the Prophet it was okay, but now, alayhi salatu wasalam, now we cannot. Maqasid al-Sharia dictates that we have to change. But the Quran and Sunnah, we have to change it. So they're abusing it. And this is why it is always essential to go back to the basics. Always when you have any dispute in a company that is well structured, you go back to the policy and procedures. If you go to the HR director or to the CEO, they will make up policies. Says, okay, sign that you want me to do this. So that in the future, if any legal claims were up, your signature would protect me. He said, no, I will not sign. You do what I tell you to do. He said, no, as long as it goes against the policy and the procedure, I will not. Our policy and procedure is what? Quran and Sunnah. Allah says in chapter 5, Surah Al-Ma'idah, Al-Yawma akmaltu lakum dinakum. Today I have completed your religion. Wa akmamtu alaykum ni'mati. And I have perfected my blessings and favor upon you. وَرَضِيتُ لَكُمْ الْإِسْلَامَ دِينَ and accepted Islam to be your religion. So this was what? At the time of the Prophet ﷺ. So what was not a religion then cannot be a religion today. It cannot change. The religion is as it is until the Day of Judgment. No changes. There might be some new issues that were not covered. This is for the scholars to come up with a verdict, but not to, wallahi, at the time of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, drinking wine was haram. Why? Because people got drunk and they went and did haram things and fornicated and killed and stole. Nowadays, alhamdulillah, we have locks. So if I lock myself in and hide the keys and get wasted, it's okay. Alhamdulillah, maqasid al-sharia. Or someone goes to a new level and says, wine is haram, whiskey is not. Because wine has to be from grapes, from fruit. But if you gin and tonic and vodka and tequila and rum and all of these things, no problem, alhamdulillah. So they said it's not what was mentioned in the Quran. So this is inapplicable because our religion is fixed. It's very easy. It's for the layman to know. And this is why we're here. To know exactly how to reach such verdicts and how did they reach it. Number two, difference in opinion almost did not exist at the time of this period. Why? Because there was the Prophet ﷺ. If you and I disputed, we would not go to Imam Shafi'i, Imam Hanafi, Imam... No, we have the Prophet of Allah. We did this and that. What do you say? Said yes or no. Why did we say almost? Because there was a difference of opinion, but usually it was solved immediately by going to the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. The easiest example, the Prophet said alayhi salatu wasalam, la yusalliyanna ahadun minkum al-asra illa fi bani Quraidah. This was stated in which year? Which incident? Yalla, ma'alish. Which battle? Which religion? Come on. This was said in Ghazwat al-Ahzab. Okay? Any other name for al-Ahzab? Khandaq. At the very end, when they all went home, there was the Muslims left with the Jews of Bani Quraidah. So the Prophet told them, alayhi salam, la yusalliyanna ahadun minkum al-asr. None of you should pray asr except in Bani Quraidah. So they immediately marched. In the middle of the way, the sun was about to set. People said, the Prophet said, don't pray asr. But Allah tells us to pray asr before the time is over. Half of the people prayed. They said, no. The Prophet meant that we should do our best to reach there early. The other half said, no. He is the one who legislates. So he tells us that we have an extra sixth prayer or tenth prayer. No problem. He tells us the five, we canceled it for today and we have one prayer. He's the one who's telling us what Allah wants from us. So they did not pray. When they reached Bani Qurayza, they went to the Prophet they prayed, defying your order. And we did, and they said, they didn't pray until the sunset, Then it went down. So, it was a difference of opinion. What did the Prophet do, alayhi sallam? No. They cannot be both right. Definitely, they cannot be both right. One is right. But because the one who was not right did their effort in reaching this conclusion, they were both rewarded. One, two rewards, and the wrong one, one reward. So there was no point in pointing fingers. But when we analyze it, now, who was right?
The one who prayed.
Because this is something fixed in the Quran, it was not abrogated. So they did right, but the one who did it also were rewarded for their effort done. Number three, the legislation feature in this period that it was in steps. So everybody used to drink in Arabia. Allah Azza wa Jal prohibited drinking. All of a sudden? No, it was on three stages. One, they ask you about intoxicants and gambling. Say, there is a lot. There is benefit in it, and there is also a lot of sin. And the sin outweighs the benefits. طيب يعني حلال والحرام. You asked me. I told you it's there is this and there is that. So still, some of them used to continue to drink. Because Allah did not say it's haram. Second stage. All you who believe, do not approach prayer while intoxicated. Until you understand what you're saying. So now, the time of being wasted and drunk is limited. From Isha to Fajr. That's the longest time. If you want to drink after Asr, Maghrib is 1 hour, 2 hour, it's not enough to sober. If you want to drink this, only from Isha to Fajr. So vast majority did not drink, but there still were those who used to drink. And some of them were social drinkers. So they come after Maghrib, between Maghrib and Isha, they drink little, not intoxicated. Just a little bit. This is coffee, by the way. It's black like my heart, alhamdulillah. Third stage, Allah says, Azza wa Jalla in Surah Al-Ma'idah, إِنَّمَا الْخَمْرُ وَالْمَيْسِرُ وَالْأَنْصَابُ وَالْأَزْلَامُ رِجْسٌ مِّنْ عَمَلِ الشَّيْطَانِ فَاجْتَنِبُوهُ. Refrain. The word فَاجْتَنِبُوهُ, stay away from it. Some of the people who use their logic nowadays say, Allah did not say, do not drink. He said, stay away from it. What do you mean? So if we have a straw, then it's okay. Are you crazy? When Allah Azza wa Jal tells you to refrain and stay away, meaning not even if someone drinks it in the room, you cannot stay in it. Not that you keep physical distance between you and it, but some people are so crooked in their understanding. Yani, for example, the parents in Surah Al-Isra, chapter 17, when Allah says, Azza wa Jal, فَلَا تَقُلْ لَهُمَا, what? Oof. Do not say to your parents, what? Oof. Oof. This is my father says, go and get the groceries from the car. Allah says, don't say this, because it shows your frustration. So someone reads the ayah and says, alhamdulillah, I can swear at my father. I can spank my mother. What do you mean? Allah said, don't say oof. He did not say, don't hit them. What kind of understanding, people? This person does not have any of the three definitions of understanding of fiqh. Neither the linguistic, nor the sharia related, nor the technical. This guy is an imbecile. And a lot of the Muslims are a manifestation of ignorance today. When they come like this and they decide that they are their own doctor. Finally, so legislation was step by step. Nowadays, if I see a non-Muslim and he wants to accept Islam, shall I use these three stages with him? No. This was only at the time of the legislation period or stage, at the time of the Prophet. Nowadays, I don't say, okay, akhi, you're doing heroin. No, do cocaine. And after 3 months, you do marijuana. And after 6 years, we will talk about it, inshallah. No, you have to stop, khalas, refrain. Finally, one of the features of this stage, that it was a training course to the companions. So the Prophet ﷺ used to train his companions and ask them to give verdicts and teach them. And this is why when he sent Mu'adh ibn Jabal to Yemen, he said, okay, Mu'adh, now you're a judge. What will you do? He said, I will look for problems in the Book of Allah. If not, he said, I will look for solutions in the Sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ. If not, he said, I will implement my intellect and try to work problems out to find a solution. The Prophet was happy and said, Alhamdulillah, who guided the messenger of Allah to the truth. So he's teaching them. Whenever they do something right, he acknowledges. But if someone made something wrong, he said, wait, this was wrong. Why did you do this? May Allah forgive you. So he teaches them, and this is why it was like a training course for the companions to learn their religion and to learn how to implement it. I think